Hour number two, Michelle and Junie here live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. You're listening to Michelle and Junie Show with Nick Kieser, filling in for Michelle Knezvik. Michelle, we hope you are having a wonderful time with your dad who is in town today. So enjoy your day off, Michelle. But we teased it before the break, and I heard this being talked about after game two of the Grizzlies-Lakers game. I was listening to FS1, and this is something that I kind of thought about last year as well, and it was a narrative when Ja Morant went down with injury for 25 games, and the Grizzlies went 20-5 in those games. And he's gone down for a significant amount of time this year due to some off-the-court controversy. And we've seen about 50 games with the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. And the stats are interesting. I will say that. I will say that. But Colin Coward made a point that really kind of made my ears perk up about this team. And I made a tweet about it because I found it interesting, and it spurred up a lot of controversy. Michelle was all over me about this on Twitter. And I think it's great. I think it's a great conversation. Here's Colin Cowherd on Ja Morant being absent from the Grizzlies and how that impacts the team.
So let's start with the Lakers' loss, though. All five Memphis starters scored in double figures. Why? They weren't sitting around staring at Ja. Talent and value are two different things. If you look at the last two seasons, including the playoffs, the Grizzlies statistically with John, without him, they win a little more. They're much better defensively. Their net rating is double. They're a better team without him. I'm sorry. Sorry, fanboys. They are. That's why Atlanta's thinking of trading Trae Young. When you let 19-year-olds come into a sport, they're not emotionally ready, and they're not great basketball players. They're great shooters or great scorers. But Ja Morant's a highlight phenom. He's absolutely athletic. He's a blast to watch. He's not a great basketball player overall. He's a great scorer. This is not a small sample size. It's 50 games, and they're better defensively. They're better offensively slightly. They move the ball better. Listen, when Tim Duncan or Michael Jordan or Bird or Magic or LeBron or Steph, when they leave a team, the team collapses. As big and as successful as Apple was, Steve Jobs left, they almost went insolvent. They had plenty of good engineers, designers around the building. He comes back, they flourish. You know, Steph Curry didn't walk into this league ready to carry a team. He needed a running mate. He needed to get stronger. He needed the right coaching. He needed to mature. Steph wasn't a great basketball player year two in this league. Ja Morant's not a great basketball player. He's a highlight. He leaves, they're better. 50-game sample size.
That was Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd says Ja Morant is not a great basketball player and that the Memphis Grizzlies are a better team statistically when they go out. Now, I dove into this a little bit deeper, and I wanted to know what their record was with him and without him over the last 2 years. And I think that that's fair. Last year they went 20-5 without Ja Morant, and then this season they've gone 12-10. And a lot of people look at that and they say, well, I think the numbers this year are more indicative of what truly happens. And I would say it kind of lies somewhere in the middle for me, that they can play a little bit more efficiently because, you know, Ja Morant creates more turnovers. He's not the best facilitator of the ball. He's an excellent scorer. He is an excellent athlete, and he makes some ridiculous plays on the court. But when you look at this 50-game sample size between this season and last year, the Grizzlies have won 66% of their games without him, and with him, they have won 63%. So a 3% difference there, 66% without Ja Morant, 63% with him. Their net rating without Ja is plus 7.4. Their net rating with him is plus 3.3. And when Tyus Jones, who many consider one of the better backup point guards in the league, is in, their defensive rating goes up, their scoring margin goes up, and he has led the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio in the last 5 years. Every single year he has. So he takes care of the ball. They play better defensively, and they move the ball around a little bit better. So my question is, because for me, I'm really indecisive about this.
Mm-hmm.
I want your opinion on it, Nick. Are the Memphis Grizzlies a better team without Ja Morant?
Oh, man, David James, I hope you're listening. But, look, I personally think they've always been a great team when they are hitting on all cylinders. Like most teams, if you are missing one of your most valuable pieces, you have to do with what you got. And, obviously, the team that plays on ice here had to do that too. Now, with the Grizzlies and Dylan Brooks, we played that clip earlier. He has the cojones to, you know, say what he wants. So when you have a team that has that mentality, that makes a big difference for me. Personally, are they a better team without him? Obviously, the numbers say they are. And I personally also think they are more than capable of carrying this team the distance without him. Now, can they win a championship without him? Probably not.
Can they win a championship with him?
That's the big question. And that's going to be the big question that will stand against time. Ultimately, to me, I personally don't think right now the way that that this team is built, and I'm not just saying this because Draymond said Dylan Brooks is a fiend and will not help this team whatsoever get to the championship. I just don't think they're built completely around, not yet at least, but they're getting there. They're getting the more experience. And Ja's still young. Keep that in mind. Ja is still a young NBA superstar. Everybody has to work their way up, and this team is starting to get there, and you should be excited about that. They are on the cusp of it. If they get to the Western Conference Final this year, that's a win in my books, personally.
But I mean, look, absolutely. I mean, it would definitely be a win, but I look at this team in the way that they're constructed, and I wonder that as good as Ja Morant is, is he the right fit to lead this kind of team?
Right.
And that's the question. It's because when I look at the Memphis Grizzlies, I see a team that is very well-rounded. Mm-hmm. They're deep. They have an identity. They play well together. You have arguably one of the best defenders in the game that's going to win Defense Player of the Year, we assume,
right,
and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Right.
You have a really good 3-and-D wing that's averaging 20-plus points a game in Desmond Bain, which I feel like all teams need. And then you also have your rough guy, your rough-and-tough player in Dylan Brooks that's going to kind of set the tone defensively, you know, guard the opposing team's best player and just kind of play mental games. So all the aspects of a really good team are there. My question with Ja Morant is, as good as he is, does he fit well with this team? Because he turns the ball a little bit more, you know. He doesn't really get his teammates as involved as other superstars. And for me, when your best player is a point guard in this modern NBA, I feel like that sets you back just a little bit. Let's look at who's dominated the league the past 20 years. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo. These are big, tall, versatile wing players. And I see the Memphis Grizzlies as very similar to like the Milwaukee Bucks. And Desmond Bane is kind of like their Chris Middleton, even though I would probably put Desmond Bane right now over Chris Middleton.
Sure.
But the difference is Ja Morant is a guard. And I think it takes like a big forward like a LeBron, Kawhi, Durant, Giannis, in order to really take a team like that over the top when you have a superstar with those intangibles.
Right. And look at the Warriors teams too. Because Steph Curry, let's say he's your Ja Morant, essentially.
Okay.
You've got all the pieces around Steph to be great at some point.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Colin was talking about in that clip.
But also, two of Steph's championships came with Kevin Durant.
Right, exactly. But what my point is you need to be a more physically daunting team to always go deep in a postseason. Not just in hockey. Like, I know that that's my thing. But when you have someone that can beat you inside the paint, get those hard buckets, make those talented step backs, look, those are big plays. the question I asked last week when we had Eric on, when I asked him about Kenneth Lofton Jr., he is a great example of what that team needs down the stretch. He is a young buck that is going to make a huge difference for that team if he's given the right opportunities. He's a big man. He gave Charles Bassey a run for his money. Charles Bassey's a big, strong dude, too, that has potential in this NBA when he's given the opportunity. But with this Grizzlies team, that's going to be the part where they crumble, is can they keep up with a LeBron here and keep up with an AD? These are guys that are bigger than most guys than what you already have. And especially in the West, look, even the Nuggets are a big team. They're a physically hard team to play against. If you look at what they have to go up against, you know, I think that's something that you have to think about long term, is how can this team build around that mentality? Because also, like we've been saying about Ja is going to be perhaps one of the most talented guys that can score in the entire league. He already is.
I will conclude this argument with this. I think that the Grizzlies are a more efficient team without Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they are a better team.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either. But here's the thing: is I also don't know if Ja Morant, as the number one option on a team, can win you a championship. And I think that that's what's going to hold the Memphis Grizzlies back. I think that's an interesting topic about how they play a little bit better defensively and how they're just a little bit more efficient. But at the end of the day, you need star talented players in order to make a run in the NBA playoffs. So really quickly here, if Ja Morant is not returning in the series, how do you think this series ends?
Look, I know I picked the Lakers game one, but look, I think if the Lakers, if they can continue to play how they have, I know that they just fell the other night, and I'm not trying to be a big fan of the Lakers. It's just how they play basketball. I could see them taking this in six if Jaw's not as healthy as he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I personally could. I think it's a very realistic expectation, and if Jaw's not healthy, which even if he does return, I don't think he's perfectly capable of it. So that's honestly my answer. I could see the Lakers winning in six. I think if the Grizz win, it's gonna come down to them in their own building in Game 7, more than likely.
David James was listening, and he tweeted me, and he said that Jaren Jackson Jr. already won Defensive Player of the Year.
I was gonna correct you.
I guess I missed that. I'm not one that watches the NBA.
A few days ago.
It's okay. It's recent. But either way, that's our topic with the Memphis Grizzlies here. I think we both conclude that Ja Morant makes this team a little bit better. I think if he does come back, the Grizzlies still win in seven, but I think this is just going to be a really, really hard fought series.
It will be.
But
certainly will.
There was an interesting tweet that I saw this morning, and it was about Derrick Henry and his future. And I don't know how I feel about it, but I think it's interesting, and I want to bring it up. We're going to talk about Derrick Henry and his future with the Titans coming up next. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to the Michelle and Junie Show. Nick Keyser, the reporter, filling in for Michelle Knezovic today. And we've gotten into a lot. We've talked about the Titans and CJ Stroud, the NFL draft, NHL, NBA playoffs going on. So a lot of things going on in sports right now, Nick. And I woke up this morning, and I saw a tweet from a source, and I was like, there's no way this could be any form of legitimate news.
Sure.
And a former NFL player, Akbar Baha Biamila, I think I pronounced that right. Actually,
I hope so.
That's a really hard one. Really patting myself on the back right here.
But apparently he's the host of Ninja Warrior, author of Everyone Can Be a Ninja,
the talk on CBS. I don't see him doing a lot of sports content. I did a little bit of a dive. I saw him on The Breakfast Club. I've seen him in a few different outlets, but I haven't seen much. But what really intrigued me was when I went and saw who follows him.
Okay. You said Adam Schefter's one.
Daniel Jeremiah, Ike Taylor, Blaine Bishop here in town, former Titan safety.
Mm-hmm.
Pat McAfee, Adam Schefter, the NFL is following this guy.
Yeah.
And he tweeted out this morning about Derrick Henry, saying that move out the way. Derrick Henry, and tagged him, is headed to the Eagles.
Hmm.
And he did a GIF of Derrick Henry absolutely obliterating Josh Norman, which everybody and their mother is.
Is Miles Sanders part of this trade?
Well, no, Miles Sanders, he left in free agency. He's with Carolina.
That's true.
So a lot of teams or a lot of people have been mocking the Eagles to take Bijan Robinson, the running back out of Texas, who a lot of people are saying is a generational talent, and that the Eagles need a running back and a big running game as a big component of their offense last year. And Akbar here thinks that the Titans are just going to deal all their best offensive players to the Philadelphia Eagles. And although he has 60,000 some odd followers and he's followed by the NFL and Adam Schefter and company, I'm not buying this report.
I personally, look, I know I've thrown some things out there about the Preds, but I know I'm around the right people to probably break stuff when the right thing happens. Not saying that this individual is not credible, but look, if this is something that's going to gain some traction, I would love to know if that is the case or not. Because look, if the Titans move off of him, we already know he's been on with Bussin' with the Boys, and he knows that at the time in his career that he's at right now, anything can happen. He can be released. He could be traded. Look, he might get hurt, and it might really hamper the rest of his entire career. But look, I think this is something that is very intriguing to me. Could they trade to him, or could they trade him away? I don't know. But look, Rand Carthon was asked about this, and I want you to listen to what he had to say about this. Go ahead and play it, Frazier. Right. So I wanted to play that because Carthon, he knows what it takes. Now, look, if he thinks that his running back is in this draft and he's trading Derrick Henry right now, okay, that's fair. But look at what he said there. Championships with a running back. And I know Jared asked that question. I think it's a very valid question because the Titans have always been a team that can run the ball. You know, it was always run the damn ball with Derrick Henry. You know, there's shirts with all that. And if they do trade him away, you know, I'm not going to completely be afraid of what Carthon's plan is. I think he is more than capable of finding a guy. Look, he had a story about, I think it was about, it was one of their running backs that they found super late on the 49ers team. And he didn't reveal who it was at first, but said, look, there was a guy that was falling all the way down to like the fifth or sixth round, I think. And it ended up being someone that they started a lot. I think it was Jennings maybe. But for me, knowing that Carthon has the ability to look at guys either deep in the draft or early, and if he trades away Derrick Henry, it's going to be for a good reason. So he has this plan in place, and I'm glad that he's been challenged with that process early because Derrick Henry, look, his prime is for maybe one or two more years at the most, being generous.
Very, very much so. And we also heard at the NFL Combine this year that they were shopping Derrick Henry. There was multiple reports out about that, you know, maybe they were testing the waters to see if anybody would take a flyer. Now, would the Philadelphia Eagles be willing to do that? Listen, I don't think the Titans would move off Derrick Henry unless they were blown away. And what is blowing them away with a 29-year-old running back? The point of the matter is with this is no other team in the NFL values Derrick Henry the way the Titans value Derrick Henry.
Absolutely.
I think the Titans see Derrick Henry as a borderline first-round pick, second-round pick, if they were willing to move off him. And I think that in order for it to actually take place, that's what it would take. And unless they're blown away with an offer like that, I don't see them accepting a third-round pick for a guy like Derrick Henry. I just look at him as he's the face of the franchise. He is a borderline Hall of Fame player. He rushed for 1,500 yards last year behind the worst offensive line in the league. He would have went back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons if he hadn't gotten hurt in 2021. And I just think that with all the holes that this team has,
mm-hmm.
you really want to create one more when it's the face of your franchise? That's and you're going to deal your best player to the Eagles after you already dealt one of your other best players that was currently on your team mm-hmm. to the Eagles, and we saw how that worked out.
Right.
The Titans have one of the worst receiving corps in the league, and A.J. Brown has a career year and goes to the Super Bowl and was one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL. I just look at this, and I don't think this guy has legitimate sources. I think he might have heard it somewhere and that they might be, you know, asking for Derrick Henry. But just because a team is asking doesn't mean that anything relatively close to getting done is going to happen. And I see a lot of Titans fans engaging with this.
Mm-hmm.
I would not. I don't see any validity to this whatsoever, but since it's been getting so much attention, mm-hmm. I feel like we had to address it this
morning. I mean, look, it's a very fair assessment, and when you look at Carthon's plan, obviously we have no idea what he's going to do in the draft, and I think that taking Bijan in this draft, if whoever gets him, he's a stud. Also, who's the kid from Alabama that was a really good run? Is it Jameer? I forgot his name.
Jameer Gibbs.
Yep. He's a
phenomenal
beast.
Running back there too. So you've got options. Like, look, they're like, I know how expendable the wide receiver and running back spots can be at times, but look, if you're the Titans, you know you could go running back on a few different guys. If the Titans ended up getting a steal out of a trade with Derrick Henry, that would be awesome. You could do your best David Poyle impression and get a lot out of it, but this is lying season too. This is the smokescreen season.
Oh yeah. Oh so, yeah. The draft is less than a week away, people. Caution everything you hear on Twitter. Just some perspective on that. I don't think Derrick Henry is going nowhere, and I don't think that anybody's willing to pay the price that the Titans would want because the value is just flat out different. But the Pred season concluded about a week and a half ago. Nick Kieser approached me yesterday and says, I want to do a deep dive on players that might be available for this team. We're going to look around the NHL coming up next and look at some potential players that the Nashville Predators can go out and beef this team up. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Barry, with the assets that you've got now in the cupboard, how open will you be this summer to, with the cap maybe only going up $1 million, to add via trade for the immediacy of next year?
Well, I think I'm gonna be really open to that, obviously. But to me, the whole key to where I think our team is to be adding the right pieces, like for the right people, not just adding a piece because it's a free agent frenzy and it seems like the right thing. You know, that it's got to be the right person. If not, I'm just gonna back away, and I'm gonna let a good young player grow, and something will come our way. I mean, you know, sometimes if you move too quick, you miss out on even a better piece. I think one of the areas that I think will be a greater strength that is maybe getting missed is there's a lot of teams in this league, probably half of them. David probably has a better number than I do, are up against the cap, and they're in trouble. And so you might be able to squeeze some really good assets, the assets that you want, out of them for a piece that fits in really well. So everything will be open in terms of that, but it has to be the right piece, because we have people coming.
That was Barry Trotz at the Predators' end-of-season press conference, talking about the potential additions to this team, and that really spiked Nick Kieser's interest in this. And we are going to go in and dive into potential players that the Predators could either sign a free agency, trade for, make some moves for to really bolster this roster. But before we get into that, tune into Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, and Friday, April 28th at the Inglewood Wingstop located at 3300 Gallatin Pike. Coverage is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, the new Cumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. So, Nick, you texted me yesterday. We knew you were going to be on the show today, and you were like, I want to do a topic talking about potential moves that the Nashville Predators could make, maybe some potential cap casualties that teams are going to get into. So, Let's get started in on this. Number one, let's start with your top player that the Predators could potentially go for. What position, what's the price, and how will that player fit into this roster?
Okay, so I love that you want me to give you number one first. And there was one way I wanted to go, but
we can do that. If you want to do a countdown, Nick, I love a good countdown.
I love that idea. I will go ahead and give you one person. I didn't number them, but I'll give you maybe one good idea, perhaps the best.
Okay, how about this? Let's save the best for last.
Okay.
I want to know who's the most logical and probably the best fit with this team.
At the very end. Or now?
No. This one would be the most logical, like, this could actually reasonably happen. I assume that your best is a long shot. Somewhat.
Yes.
So
it
what
is huge.
So
yes.
what is the most logical, most likely move that could really make an immediate impact this upcoming season?
So there is, in this free agency class, there is not really somebody that's going to wow you. However, there are several guys that are in the back half of their 20s that are more than capable of being really good depth scorers for you. Now, last night for the Los Angeles Kings, Alex Iafallo is a name that comes to mind for me. He's 29. He had 36 points this year. And then in the back of my head, I'm thinking, if they're not going to keep him, then that would be a great situation for Nashville. And all of these names I'm going to give you today, Junie, they're not necessarily going to be likelihoods for the Predators. I'm just telling you, based off of maybe some teams that Trotz has had, these guys could perhaps fit into the system and provide that depth that they do need. Because like he said in the soundbite coming back, if he doesn't have the right guys that fit the bill, which honestly I think he's going to go young, but if he does add anyone, I'm going to share those guys with you. Alex Iafallo is my number one in terms of maybe logically if he's not re-signed. He's definitely going to be attractive, not just to the Predators. He's going to be a hot commodity. I would say kind of similar to him is Alex Kerfoot, who's playing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He doesn't have a deal right now, and he's playing really good depth minutes for them as well. And then, quite frankly, if you want to look on defense too, I like Scott Mayfield. Scott Mayfield is a guy that's been playing really well for the Islanders. He's played top pair minutes at times. So if Nashville does not bring back an Alex Carrier, well, if you look at a guy like Scott Mayfield, he's a good shutdown guy. He's not going to put points up for you, but Trotz's teams when he started off were hard defensive guys. Jay Moore, who we just had on not that long ago when I filled in, is a great example of one of those guys that fit the bill for how Trotz wanted to play.
And I think that to your point here, I think that that would be a good fit because yes. We look at, you know, a Roman Josi and a Tyson Barrie.
Right.
We have a lot of offensive production coming from the blue line.
Right.
And I think that adding a guy like that, a physical presence, a guy that's going to, you know, kind of be more of a lockdown, filling the void that Matthias Ekholm per se has left.
Yes.
You think that that would be a really good fit, especially if they don't re-sign Carrier.
I truly do. If the Predators don't feel like they can bring someone up immediately, because Barry's going to want a lot of guys to cook in the minors, like he said so many different times. Now, I'm going to get into some guys now that are kind of a long shot, and I'm going to start off with this guy. He's a big name. It's probably not going to happen, but I've heard from some fans, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is. Trevor Zegras is a guy that is an RFA this year, but my player comp to him, as in terms of what kind of deal he could get, I don't think it's going to be this long. But Nick Suzuki in Montreal plays a lot like him. He's a creative guy. He's not going to be as prolific as a goal scorer as Trevor, but Suzuki signed an 8-year deal worth 8.4 AAV. That's a lot, but he's their captain. They locked him in. He's a 60-point scorer every season so far. They're both young guys. A lot could change. With Trevor, I think he could get a 7-year deal. I personally wouldn't go more than 7 years.
And how old is he one more time?
Trevor, I believe, I forgot his age precisely, I think he's about 23, 24.
Okay,
so closing in on that.
So young with some upside.
He's finishing his rookie deal. But here's the big kicker that I want Preds fans to understand, and maybe this is going to be something new for you. Let's say the Ducks give him a contract. If the Predators wanted to give them an offer sheet for him, let's say if it's over $8 million, you would have to give up 2 firsts, 1 second, and 1 third in this year's draft. Now, the Predators have 13 picks. That's why most fans think it's appealing to give them an offer sheet. And let's say it's not Trevor. Let's say it's someone else that gets a deal that's above $8 million, but the Preds want to offer him a deal. That's the compensation. So that's a lot. That you're giving up your future, basically, to go get a guy like that. So I want to throw that out there. Trevor's the one forward in that space of mind for me. If Poile wants to make a splash, or if Trotz wants to make a splash with this, because he's going to advise Trotz in this role. Preds don't really do offer sheets. We've matched offer sheets like a Shea Weber, but that was to keep him here. Another guy, too, that comes to mind for me is Colton Parayko. The Predators are probably not going to be in any realm to get this guy, but he was almost dealt at the trade deadline. It was a very interesting situation. We thought he was close to being dealt. It never came through. It was rumored that he was going to be traded, but he has a no trade clause. He needs to waive that deal for him to say, okay, I'm good to go. But he has a 7-year deal that is worth $6.5 million.
Well, what's his point production then? Does it carry over with that $6.5 million a year?
Colton's not a guy that's going to score a whole lot, but he really does enjoy getting in the dirty areas. Colton, when he's played against the Predators, he is someone that the Predators want he's a big dude too. He's about 6'5".
Okay.
He's a physically daunting guy. Now I'm going to transition here into a guy that is very intriguing to me to end this.
And this is the big splash play move that they can make.
I would say the biggest non-realistic would have been Trevor.
Okay.
But you also, I've got a couple of players in Calgary. I don't have time to really go too much into them, but I like Andrew Mangiapane and Dylan Dubé from the Calgary Flames. Because that team was disappointing this year. If they want to move off some guys, those are two names that come to mind for me in terms of if the Predators were interested in them. I'm not wanting anybody else off of Calgary's roster. But I am going to tell you, one guy that was drafted third overall in 2013 that has had a very underwhelming career is Jonathan Drouin. He's coming off of a $5.5 million deal, AAV. Now, he's 28, so it's not appealing to go grab him because he's going to be a project guy. It's a very strong maybe that he has a resurgence in his career. We see that in Cody Glass, but Cody Glass is significantly younger. Jonathan Drouin was drafted by the Lightning. He came in. He's been dealing with injuries over the course of his entire career. Now, Drouin is someone. If you lose a winger, now let's say the Preds, they weren't really sure about their depth in Milwaukee or draft-wise, Drouin would be a really appealing option for me if I were in those shoes, because he does have that upside to be a good guy one day. Carter Verhaeghe is another guy that comes to mind in Florida. There's a lot that I want to get into in terms of that, because Carter Verhaeghe can score, but I don't think they're going to shed him off there in the books in Florida. But look, Drouin is a guy, if you want another project guy, if you want to work on him, because Trotz likes guys that work hard. Drouin's going to work hard for you, and he has been for years. He's just not been that third overall guy that's been expected to tear up the NHL. He has the talent. He has the mindset. But I question if he's going to bring up that production for the Predators. But you just never know. He could thrive in the Predators system. But that has been my dissection of what, looking around the league, guys or teams that are kind of in this cap trouble who need to just shed off some guys. these are names that come into mind for me personally.
And how much cap space are the Predators likely going to have when it's all said and done?
Well, the Preds are in a good situation, unlike a lot of teams. A lot of teams are going to be over the cap right now. Now, if you go to SpotTrack and you look at next year's cap, now, a lot of teams, like one team that has a lot of cap space is obviously, you know, Anaheim has a lot of space, which is why I'm saying Trevor Zegras is a long shot. But looking at next year, the expected cap, SpotTrack has a lot of different teams that are not as much in cap hell, basically, because a lot of contracts are going to expire. But you also have to consider who's going to be retained, and no one can track that. Vancouver is the team that's in the negative cap space in terms of what it looks like next year. Then you've got Tampa, Calgary, Vegas, St. Louis, the Islanders, the Stars, the King, or yeah, the Kings, and then Washington. There's a lot of teams that if they don't retain the guys that are coming off of expired deals, the cap space does open up significantly. Now, you asked specifically about the Predators, and I'll tell you about the Preds super, super fast here, because the cap's going to go up $1 million this year, more than likely. Elliot Friedman has come on and said that the cap is going to go up by $1 million this year. Now, if you look at the Predators, the only person I'm concerned about signing is Cody Glass. Cody Glass is an RFA. He's probably going to come in on a bridge deal this year. I would say no more than 3 years. That's really the only guy I'm concerned about. You've also got Carrier. That's an RFA. We'll see what they do. They have more than enough space to sign both of them. It's about Barry's plan. What is Barry going to do? What is his temperament going to be when it comes to RFAs? Is he going to want to use these picks? Because, look, they said they want to utilize picks. Do they want to offer sheet people? Do they want to trade people? There's a lot of possibilities.
Absolutely. A lot of possibilities. Barry Trotz taking over at the conclusion of this NHL season. We're going to wrap things up here on Michelle and Junie making some picks. Nashville FC going up against LAFC, the defending MLS champions. Grizzlies Lakers game 3. We're getting all to it next year. Listen to the Michelle and Junie show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Here hanging out at the Kubota Field event at Coleman Tractor of White House here today. I'm going to be out here until noon. This event going on until 2 o'clock. Lots of great people already out here today. They got lunch coming up from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. too, so make sure you check that out. You can ride it and buy it up here at 3613 Highway 31 West in White House, Tennessee. Visit our event to demo Kubota's full line of equipment from zero-turn mowers, ag tractors, construction equipment, hay tools, and more. One-day only deals. You can register for our event to receive your coupon for up to $250 off select Kubota equipment, and they've got great financing offers today as well. Tow and go packages, tractor packages that are pre-assembled, complete with a trailer and ready to tow and go. Plus, like I said, free barbecue plate lunches that are catered by Keys Southern Smokehouse from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So free hats and swag bags, toys for the kids, while supplies last, they've got it all. Come up here today, 3613 Highway 31 West in White House for the Kubota Field event at Coleman Tractor of White House.
Welcome back to the Michelle and Junie show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. I had to let the music play for a little bit, Frazier. I thought it was a good choice coming in because it's that time. It is that time to go around and make some picks this weekend. We got two pretty big games going on here in the Tennessee region. And we're going to kick it off with Game 3 tonight, 10 p.m. now that it's out in Los Angeles, so you know, you might want to take a nice midday nap to be able to stay up because, you know, as I'm getting older, you know, staying up for those 10 o'clock games, I used to roast people about that. I'm like, how could you fall asleep for a big-time game? Like, just stay up. It's not that big of a deal. But then when you get into the adulting aspect and life hits you, it's like, oh, man, 10 o'clock.
And your dad.
10 o'clock is kind of crazy. Like, it's kind of crazy. My son goes down. He's asleep by 8 o'clock. So I'm not far behind that nowadays, but I'm going to do my best to try and stay up and watch this Lakers-Grizzlies games. We talked about it earlier. The Dylan Brooks comments after the game in the locker room about LeBron James. How is LeBron the Lakers going to match up? Will Ja Morant play? All this stuff is in question. I mean, I looked it up before the show. I haven't looked it up recently. Something else could have came out about Morant, but at this moment in time, he's still questionable, is he not?
Pretty sure he's still questionable.
I think I'm looking up right now.
Yes, questionable.
He is still questionable. He might be a game time decision, maybe. Not sure. But game three, 1-1. It's back in LA. The Lakers really dominated game one. The Grizzlies came back strong in game two. Game three. The line, according to Superbook Sports, is 4 points in favor of the Lakers. The Lakers are -4 at home against the – I'm sorry, -4.5 now against the Memphis Grizzlies.
It is 4.5.
I am going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think LeBron James has a big night, dude.
I'm not
a LeBron James fan whatsoever. I truly root against him. I'm what Twitter calls a LeBron hater, but you don't talk to that guy.
Nope.
I mean, he's been to 10 NBA finals. He is one of the greatest players of all time, and they are well rested, they are healthy, and they are going back to LA. I think the Lakers win. I think LeBron James has a 30 point triple double at least tonight. He might go for 40.
So, I'm taking the Lakers too, but I want to point this out here with you too. So I went to the player props because I know Frazier likes doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I went over to LeBron James in points because you bring that up. I'm going to tell you what it is.
Oh, is it 39.5? Please tell me it's 39.5.
It is not. The over +100 is 29.5. So if you think he's scoring that, if you think he's going over that in his response game to Dylan Brooks – you might want to put the over on points.
So it's 29.5.
29.5 +100 right now.
I would lock that in immediately. Because I think he's getting over 35.
100%.
I think 35 minimum for LeBron tonight.
I mean, look, that's where I'm coming in. And AD going over 23.5 is -105.
I don't know about that one.
That's an interesting one.
I look at tonight's game as a LeBron James takeover, mm-hmm. and I think that he goes crazy, and I think Anthony Davis is just going to kind of primarily be there on defense, rim protect.
Okay.
And I see him under on the points. Give me LeBron over on the points. Frazier.
I'm right there with both of you. I do believe solely that LeBron is about to have a game of his life after this Dylan Brooks comment. I did see on the book that I'm looking at, LeBron to get 40 points is +700.
Wow.
That's a ridiculous odds number there. Also, for LeBron to have a double-double, that's +100, even money. That is a definite sprinkle. Might as well just put your regular wagers on that.
I might do a LeBron James parlay tonight, just on a bunch of player props on him. I just think he's going to go off and go crazy. But there's another game in town, and, you know, not a lot of people are talking about it right now, but the defending MLS champions are going to be at Geodis Park taking on Nashville SC. Frazier, you have been on an absolute tear when it comes to NSC. He has been undefeated on his NSC picks the last 2 weeks. Round of applause for Nick Frazier.
Thank
He's
you.
Out here killing it. If you're listening, you make some money.
Thank you very much.
We picked NSC last week when they were on the road in New York, and they lost. You were still good on your parlays.
Yes.
I think they win today at home. They're a much different team at Geodis Park. Give me NSC moneyline. Frazier, what's your specials for today?
Yikes. I'm not saying yikes for your pick, but I'm a little nervous about this game. One, because, you know, Walker Zimmerman coming off U.S., you know, duties along with Shaq Moore. This could be one of those type of games where you could see LAFC put up two goals in the first half possibly. Maybe they don't, and we just see Nashville SC come out guns a-blazing. But my parlay today, I have it, it's sticking with the wonderful corner prop, but 7 or more shots on target for the whole match itself. Hany Mukhtar to get 2 or more shots on target and over 8.5 corners. That by itself was, I believe, let's see, +242. So it's a little bit of juice, not much. But I also put in there's a little tease, not a tease, a little drop of odds boost. Daniel Lovitz, he's a wingback, to get 1 shot on target, and that put the odds up to 2,400.
Okay.
So $25 puts it up to 605.
I need you to text me that because I'm going to plug it in. Keezer, before we have to go, real quick. NSC, LAFC, who you got?
NSC.
NSC.
I'm going to go with the draw, 2-2.
2-2
wow.
draw. I mean, that's a fun draw. That's a fun draw. If you're not doing anything tonight, highly recommend going out to Geodis. I mean, it's a great environment. Always a fun time there. But you have tuned in. You got our picks. I think we made some good ones. We're high on NSC. We're high on the Lakers. This has been the Michelle and Junie Show. Nick Keezer, another great job at filling in. We will be back next Saturday as the playoffs continue for the NHL and NBA. You're listening to Michelle and Junie here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We out.